Let's start reading in verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. Verse 7. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, and the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read the writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now stop there and drop down to verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. And skip down again into verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou, and thy lords, and thy wives, and thy concubines, and have drunk wine in them, and have praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this was the writing that was written. Many, many, tekel, aparison, and this is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And then one more verse. Verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless us this morning. Lord, we really do want to know you better, and we want to know how you are. And Lord, even more than that, we want to be like you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us. We are so prone to wander. We are so prone to turn from those things that we know to be true. And Lord, we're weak and we need your help. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to honor you and to glorify you in this physical life here on earth that you've given to us. And Lord, have your way in the preaching of your word this morning. However you see fit to use this, I pray that you would. In Jesus' name, amen. For the sake of time, I didn't read the entire chapter. Of course, it's a incredible chapter. This is one of those stories that's been told over and over again in the Bible, and many people are familiar and know this story. This story, of course, has some of the supernatural in it, in that here was a king, and this king had all of his lords and all of his concubines and all of the important people in his kingdom, and they were basically having a great party. They were doing really good. The wine was flowing. I'm sure the food was in abundance. I'm sure the music was probably top-notch. They probably had the best of everything at this party. This is one of those state dinners that everything was just right. And he's calling out and commanding them to bring in vessels that were dedicated to the temple of God, which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had captured and had brought to Babylon. And then something very interesting happens. Right in the middle of the dinner, right as he's praising the gods of gold and silver, a hand comes out of the middle of nowhere and writes on the wall. And you say, well, how in the world could that be possible? Well, you just tell me how in the world it was possible for God to create the heavens and the earth. But he did. You see, God has control over the science. He's got control over the physiology. God made this happen, and this hand wrote judgment against this king, and wrote it in a way that he couldn't understand. And the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and all of the people of his kingdom could not figure this thing out. He upped the ante and said, anybody that can figure this thing out, I'm going to make him third ruler in my kingdom. I'm going to put a chain of gold on his neck. He's going to be an important person, thinking in his mind, hey, there's no problem here. I'm going to continue on forever. He had no thoughts, even in this process, even in the fear that he had over this supernatural event, he had no thought that he was going to die. And, of course, the story goes on that Daniel was found. The queen was pretty smart, and she said, look, you've already got somebody in your kingdom who can figure this thing out. He is already interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar. He is known as a revealer of dreams and interpreter of dreams. His name's Daniel. You really need to call him. Of course, Daniel, he knows what's going on because he belongs to God. And he said, look, let your gifts be to yourself. I don't need to be third ruler in your kingdom. I don't need your gold chain. Man, I wish there were some televangelists today that would understand that. We don't need your gold chain. We don't need your gold. We don't need your silver. Every now and then people ask me, you know, because they know I'm a pastor. Hey, man, I got this bag. You mind bringing it to your church? Well, no, last time I looked, everybody in my church had clothes. I really don't need a bag of clothes, you know. Give it to the Salvation Army, you know. They think that we're beggars or something, and it's just not true. But then Daniel says, hey, look, this is what it means. And he goes on to give him the history. He said, now you remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. Man, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar was an incredible thing. He thought that he was the one that was the head of gold that God had revealed, and all of the kingdoms of his provinces were his. That because of my management, my leadership, my skill, all these things belong to me. And God had to prove otherwise. In a moment, he had him eating grass like an animal for 7 years. He was insane. He was not in his right mind. How they even kept him as king, that's an amazing thing. But then after 7 years, he restored him. And all of a sudden, it clicked again. Do you realize that you're putty in God's hands? He doesn't even have to hardly breathe. He just speaks the word, and your life is so in his hands. Nebuchadnezzar found that out, and he made a statement. He said, there is no God in the earth but the Lord God. He knew, and he was put in his place. Belshazzar, I guess he didn't understand that. Well, he understood it because he knew it, but he sure didn't act on it. And this was the whole point of the matter. Belshazzar was living his life acting like an idiot and not progressing, not acting on the things that he knew about God. And God judged his kingdom. God finished it. God pulled his kingdom out of his hands, and God died. God killed him. And that's what the meaning of the thing was. Thou art weighed in the balances, and thou art found wanting. And I want to look at this because this is a real illustration. You think the Bible is outdated and antique? It's just a story for old times. Man, this story right here is as up to date as today's newspaper. It has got every element of human behavior in it that we still battle and we still face today. And if you want a theme, or if you want a title for the message, it would be Thou, Belshazzar, art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And maybe you could take his name out and you could put your name down. Amen. Thou, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. You've got the judgment of men, and you've got the judgment of God. You've got three main characters here. You've got the players at the party, you've got the man of God, and then you've got God Almighty. And these players are going to reveal exactly what goes on. And we are not as complicated as we like to think. You know, we are pretty base, and we like to think that we are educated and that we are civilized now. And we might even look down on some cultures because they're less civilized than we are. We don't run around in the jungles with our clothes off and carry spears and everything like that. I mean, we are elevated. Our society has reached a level that's just incredible. And we were talking about this morning, somebody handed, I think Bill handed me a CD, and I'm like, man, what am I going to do with this? I got nothing to play it on. I just bought a computer, but it won't play this thing. It's got no thing in there for a CD. Remember, just 5 years ago, we were arguing with everybody saying, look, we got to get rid of the cassette tapes and we got to go to CDs. Remember that? Everybody's like, don't get rid of our cassette tapes, you know? But we're progressing, right? We've got technology. We've got, we're elevated. We're cultured. We're civilized. Yeah, right. Yeah, I think we're a little bit more base than what we'd like to admit. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar had a son, and some say it was his grandson. I won't debate that here. But Belshazzar, there he was at the feast. And I couldn't help but think the similarities that we got between this massive party that was going on and this time of the year, from stretching from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's. We've got some dangerous times coming up. If I were you and I'd be driving around, I'd be careful to drive at night for about the next 20 or 30 days. You know, this time of year, this is kind of like our drunken feast. You know, really, seriously. From Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's and just a little bit past, this is an incredibly dangerous time. And it's illustrative. It's illustrative of what we think in our mind. And the scene opens up with Belshazzar, and what's he doing? He's drinking that wine. And you say, well, no, you know, Jesus made water out of wine, and he does all that. So, I think that there's a big difference between Jesus making wine. He made water out of wine. That's pretty good, man. But I mean, he made wine out of water. He turned the water into wine. Now that fits. And you use it as a license. As a license to want to drink. And man, I could spend the rest of my time here, but I don't mind giving a little jab on public drunkenness. I don't mind giving a little jab on drinking. Do you realize that this time of the year, there are more accidents and fatalities on the road due to drunk driving than at any other time during the year? People leaving and coming home from parties and drinking and driving. Do you realize right now there are more breakups at this time of the year due to drinking than at any other time? There's adultery that goes on that's due to drinking. I mean, I could put a real jab in here and tell you one thing. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, because I tell you something, what I want to point out is that Belshazzar, one of his big things is that he didn't weigh himself. He didn't examine himself. You know, the New Testament says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And self-examination is a big part of our life. It's something that we ought to be doing all the time. And he didn't do that. Do you know that in the book of Hosea in chapter 4 in verse 11, it says, we better read it because I had it memorized. But like Bill said, man, you can't trust that memory. Look in the book of Hosea. First person there, read chapter 4 and verse 11 for us. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. You know why? What makes this so dangerous? Is that you might think, oh, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, a little drinking, a little this and that. But do you know it does? It takes away the heart. It steals your judgment. It steals your judgment. It steals your mind. It steals your it steals your inhibitions. You say, man, let me just do a little drinking so I can just relax and drop my inhibitions. No, do you understand that God gave you inhibitions? God gave those to you to protect you. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get shame completely out of our lives to where nobody's being ashamed of anything. That's a sad deal, man. There are certain things you should be ashamed of. We got no business having gay pride parades. That should never be something we should be proud of. All this stuff, and it's amazing now. It's amazing how proud we are of our idiocy.
Amen.
But isn't that a token of our society? Isn't that a token of our humanity? It's pride. I want you to know something. We're going to come back to it. But one of his indictments of Belshazzar was not simply that he'd just been drinking, but one of his indictments are, look, you never humbled yourself before me. And so, man, you think that you can balance these two? Man, I don't know. I don't know that I would balance it this season. I'm telling you something. I made a decision, and you can make your own decision on this. You can read a couple of obscure verses, but nothing ever good happened to me when I was drinking.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Somebody tried to argue that point with me. No, actually, there's some good things that happened one time. No, to me, I tell you something. Nothing ever good ever happened to me when I was drinking. And I thought, you know, it's okay. I can just simply get rid of the alcohol and kind of keep the lifestyle. And you know what I found out? After I became a Christian, I still, on Friday nights, after your Bible study, Joe, I would go out to the dance halls and or wherever the party was, and I would just drink Coke. You know, I'd given up the alcohol, sort of, kind of, and was working on it. And I would just drink Coke, and there I'm sitting there, and I'm stirring my Coke, and my Coke is in the same glass as his JD and Coke, and it's got the same straw, and the music is playing, and the skirts are short, and everybody's partying and having a good time. Now, how in the world am I going to get any witnessing done right there? You know what I learned? I learned I got to get up and get out. This is no place for me.
Amen.
Listen, the parties, they can be real dangerous. You got to be real careful. Say, well, you know, with the holidays coming up, you know, it's just the drunkenness. I'm just going to enjoy everything, but I'm just not going to drink, you know, and I think that's great. Man, that's awesome. But you know something else about this? And this is indicative of our society. The one thing that we see in this party that Belshazzar has is we see this incredible amount of excess, you know? And so one of the marks of this holiday is debt. People are going into debt at this time of the year.
Right.
To me, it was easy for me to make a decision that we're going to give up all this present stuff because I'm by nature very frugal, very cheap anyway. So to me, it was just a natural extension of my personality. I got on board real quick, but I really feel sorry for people. You know, I enjoyed, not too long ago, reading accounts of violence on Black Fridays. I mean, I was at a Black Friday one time years ago. I didn't even know it was Black Friday. It was like, you know, I'm going to go to the store and buy a sweater. I didn't have any clue, you know, that it was Black Friday, you know. And there I am, and I'm holding this thing up, and this is not a lie. I mean, I'm telling the truth. I got my hand up to prove it. I was holding this sweater up to kind of look at it, back when sweaters were really cool. And this lady just snatched it out of my hands and walked away. I was like, you know, Well, what do I do? You know? Reading through the New Testament. Well, what do I do in this situation? You know, do I slap her? Do I go grab it back? You know, do I just let her walk away. And I was just stunned. I was like, man, it wasn't even that great of a sweater. But it was Black Friday. You know, people out there camped out. I saw a guy by Best Buy in a tent waiting for a TV. Man. Why didn't you just pay the extra $50 and buy the TV on a normal day? You know, I don't understand. But it is indicative of our nature, isn't it? We are excessive. And we give ourselves to things that take away our mind and take away our heart. And we give ourselves to our excesses. And Belshazzar had this huge drunken feast, and we look down on him and we say, yeah, you know, that guy's an idiot. And yet we're idiots a lot of times too. Our covetous heart, man, makes us want to go buy. Oh man. I'm not immune. I don't have a halo above my head saying, you know, hey brothers, I have this under control, and I'm the salesman's worst nightmare, and I can walk away anytime. No, it grabs my heart. You know, Samuel is in town right now, and he says, hey, Dad, you know, I'm taking my Brittany's father-in-law to the gun show, and do you want to come with us? And yeah, sure, you know. And I haven't been to a gun show in years. I forgot what weird people are at gun shows. And then we're at a gun show. All these guys walking around with AK-47s and M-16s and all of that. And what's the sign on the door? No guns. What? This is crazy. But I'm in there all sanctimonious walking around, you know, like I'm above all this. Hey, nice gun, but nah, I don't need it. Until I saw the defender. Why do I need a 50 cal? No, I don't hunt deer that big. But, it was nice, you know. And then I was looking for a sawed-off shotgun. I saw some that were really nice. And all of a sudden, that feeling in there. Oh, you know it, right? You know it, right after you buy that car, you know, don't ever buy a car at the end of the year because the new models come out and you'll be like, oh man, you got a nice truck, but the next year has that new grill pattern. Covetous. But in that this time of the year, you know, this reveals who we really are. We are. I dare you to go this holiday season and not buy nothing for nobody. Okay, go back and listen to that again. You might temper that a little bit. But anyway, you might look at Belshazzar and say, man, that guy. You know what else is a mark of this season right here? The incredible amount of infidelity.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, many people lose themselves at Christmas parties. And get involved with somebody from work or get involved in an affair and mess up their lives. And why is it? Because we're so lonely at this time, you know, and certain people are lonely. So they go out looking for things. And I mean, I could just go on and on. I was reading that drunken feast of Belshazzar and I was thinking that is America from Thanksgiving to January 1st. Tell you what, I'm looking forward to January 1st. We are going to have a lot of garage doors to repair. I'm serious. Calls start in early in the morning on January 1st, even though we're closed. Can you come and do an emergency repair on my garage door? My foot slipped off the clutch. Yeah, right. You drove home and didn't know where you were and forgot to open the door and just kept on driving. I'm serious. It's an amazing time. But, you know, Solomon talked about something. I want to read a verse, and this might be a little bit of a downer verse, but it's a really wise verse. Look in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance is the heart made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Interesting verses. This was written by a wise man. And do you know what he said? He said it is better to go on Tuesday and Wednesday to Miss Leha's funeral than it is to go to the Christmas party on Friday night. He said it's better. And you think, what in the world? How in the world could that possibly be so? He says, because the living, they lay it to heart. Do you know the problem with getting involved in all the excess and giving yourself to wine and to covetousness and to all these other things? Is Hosea was right. Whoredoms and wine and new wine take away the heart. You get a skewed view of what life is all about. No, every young person, most young people, I remember I thought about it when I was young, never really thought farther than the next good time, than the next party, as if life is nothing more than a stream of awesome experiences. You know, somebody said one time that they were just working for the weekend. I feel sad for you if all you're doing is working for the weekend. That nothing means anything in between the week, that you're just looking for the good time, the next party. I tell you why, because it makes you think short term. Here's a situation where the God of the universe was trying to get a man's attention and he was too drunk to know. We're talking about a tragedy here. We're talking about a wasted life. Where here's a life, I don't care if he was the king of the greatest nation in the world at the time, his life was meaningless. Because he was so full of these things. And not only that, but God actually indicts something special about what he did. And he said, look, you were taking the cups and you were taking the glasses out of the temple. And I know Belshazzar is not Jewish. So he has no interest in Jewish things. He's also not a Christian. He's not a believer in God. It's very obvious he's not a believer in God. And so he just, to him, they're just other cups. We see the power of God and we look at him and we get nervous just watching him do it. But look what he does. He takes those cups and then he takes the cups that God had dedicated to his temple for his purpose. And you say, oh man, it's just a cup. Go back and read Leviticus. Go talk to Brother Danny about some of the types in the Old Testament. Man, those cups mean things. They are representative of stuff, and they are physical representations of holy things that God set aside for himself. And here's a heathen taking a cup that God had set aside for his service, filling it with wine, and drunkenly praising the gods of gold and silver. You think, I don't worship idols. Yeah, you do. Because covetousness is idolatry. I'm serious. Covetousness is idolatry. And you can just as easily worship and because you're putting your credence on it. You're putting all your thoughts there. You're putting all your energies there rather than on the things. Man, you know, the life that's worth living is the life that's worth living is the life where you're not invested in things, you know, where you don't need stuff to make you happy. And if you got to buy something to make yourself happy, you're really poor. You got to be a salesman's worst nightmare. You got to have the ability to just walk away and say, you know, it'd be nice to have that, but I don't need that because my joy comes from other things. Oh, man, if Christians could learn that, if they could learn that we're not here in this life just to amass wealth, we're here in this life to please God, your whole life would change. But he profaned the things that God had precious. I tell you, this is a big thing, not only among non-Christians, but against Christians too. It was a thing that God was looking down at this drunken man, and he saw that he was lightly esteeming the things that he took as important. That Sunday school lesson this morning. What is God like? How does he think? What are his expectations? What brings him joy? What brings him pleasure? Those are those things that we ought to be occupied in. Amen. We ought to find out what brings him pleasure. We ought to find out what brings him joy. We ought to find out what's precious to him. Amen. And we've got a world today. We've got a society today. Our society is hell bent on profaning the things that God loves. His name. His name's not a cuss word. His name's not an exclamation point. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The Bible says that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That name means something to us. And it's obvious the world hates that name because they want to strip it away from our valedictorians. Don't mention his name when you give your commencement speech. They want to take his name out. They want us to write Christian songs that don't have his name in it. But I'm telling you something, his name is an awesome name. The name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. It ought to be a name that we're proud of, that we don't just whisper in hushed tones over in the corner, you know, to where, you know, we don't want to rock the boat on anything. I'm telling you something. This world is blatant and obvious. They are just as blatant as Belshazzar was, and we ought to be just as blatant in promoting those things that are precious to God. We shouldn't despise the meetings. We shouldn't despise church. Just church. That's all it is. No, you look in the doctrine of the church in the New Testament. It is incredible how God set this thing up. We are throwing away everything that God said was precious. God set us up in families and in communities. And what are we doing? We are disintegrating families. We are making families a mockery in today's day and age. And we're making the church a mockery. But the church isn't a building. It's not multi-million dollar ministries. A church is a body. You realize we need each other. We need to strengthen one another. When times are tough and you have deaths in the family, you need your brothers and sisters there to strengthen you. Man, when things are going good, you need somebody to rejoice with you. Man, the church is something that God designed. And it's precious to him. The church ought to be precious to us. His name ought to be precious. He indicted, he said, you weighed in the balances and found wanting. He said, you profaned that which I hold valuable. Oh, we ought to find out what God has to say. We ought to find out what really is valuable to him. Isn't it amazing that at this time of the year, we've got incredible amounts of drunkenness and feasting and adultery and covetousness and debauchery. But oh, it's all, don't forget the reason for the season. Right. You know, that's what a hypocritical thing. You're doing all this stuff, and then at the very end, you try to tack Jesus onto that nonsense. I used to see it in country western bars, you know, right around closing time. You know, they've been singing about womanizing all night long and about leaving her and about loving him. And I got tears in my ears laying on my pillow, crying my heart out over you and all that kind of stuff. And at the end, they want to pull out one or two songs out of Mama's songbook. And they always sing Amazing Grace before the alcohol shuts down. We're such hypocrites. Man, how about living in a way that actually pleases him? Oh, Belshazzar. And you see, he didn't weigh himself. He was even willingly ignorant. He was willingly ignorant. Did you know what the queen said? The queen said, you know, you remember. The queen was over there. Belshazzar, no, don't you remember your father? Don't you remember Daniel? Man, it was a big deal when it happened. Don't you remember? I know you were younger when it happened, but man, remember what happened. And Daniel said, I know you know these things. And yet, you know what he did? He just kindly forgot it. You know, that's one of the things that we will do. We will just very conveniently push things off to the side. Do you know that's just as much an abomination in God's eyes? You know, what are we doing ignoring those things that are good and righteous and holy and all of that? You ever talk to somebody and you try to open the Bible and they're like, no, don't read me any verses. You ever heard the lie that if I don't know, I'm not responsible for it? Don't tell me, you know. You already told me too much, but I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. I'm telling you something. God will hold you responsible whether you know or not. And the fact that, what does it say over there in the New Testament? It says this, the scoffers, they were willingly ignorant of. They were willingly ignorant to turn aside all the evidence of God, willing to just set it aside in their mind. And that's old Nebuchadnezzar, and that's our world today. They want to just simply put God out of everything. Man, don't talk about God. Don't talk. And now we are in such a politically correct society, you know, that we can't say anything about God. Well, no, we can. We can still talk about God. And believe me, let me tell you something. The world needs to hear it. They need to hear you talk good things about God. They need to hear you praise Him. More than simply just trite phrases like praise the Lord and thank you, Lord. No, they need to hear why God is good. They need to hear, man, God is awesome. He did this, and God is like this, and His grace is like this, and man, His faithfulness is like that. Man, it's like bragging on somebody that you're trying to describe to somebody else. You say, hey, man, you know, my wife, she's this, and when I praise Judy, I don't just say, hey, praise Judy. You know, I said, hey, Judy's pretty awesome. She's got, can't think of anything right now, but she, no. Oh man, she's just awesome. She's so, and one thing everybody knows about Judy and you love about her is the fact that she will make herself sick to serve somebody else. She is just a servant's heart and she's got that. You know, and so I could talk about my wife like that. Why didn't you talk about God like that? Here's the tragedy. Here's a man that actually had the opportunity to know everything about God. He had examples in his life of what God was like. Man, he had lessons. He had object lessons. And he had the God of the universe willing and ready to bless him abundantly. And he turned his back on all of that and just walked away. And he praised the gods. He took everything that was offensive to God and just put it in his face. Daniel comes and says, I got the message. And you know what amazes me? It's at the end of the message, he said, your kingdom is taken from you, given to the Medes and the Persians. You were weighed in the balances and found wanting. Basically telling him he was going to die. What did Belshazzar do? Put a ring of gold around his. I promised you're going to be third ruler in my kingdom for the next 20 minutes. Who wouldn't? An hour later, that man was dead. Wow. The arrogance. And that's why some people go to hell. Not because they were forced there, not because there was no other alternative, because their haughty, proud heart was not willing to humble themselves before the God of the universe. I'm talking to non-Christians and Christians. We've got no business walking proud in front of God. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. You know, this is the amazing thing, is that his judgment is beyond scary because it came suddenly. You know, most people don't have the privilege of what Miss Leha had. Miss Leha began to get sick And in her mind and in the family's mind, we knew that the days were growing shorter and that the time was at a premium. And yet there are so many people, they pass off into eternity just like that. So fast. I had a friend of mine, some of you know him, they used to come to church, and man, I'm telling you, that guy was built, he was strong, he had everything together, you know, he was good looking, about 40 years old, he was driving home and had a brain aneurysm, and in seconds, he was dead. I'm telling you, you don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. Amen. Belshazzar gave himself to wine, and you could put drugs, and you could put things, and you could put anything else in life that intoxicates you and makes you think less about God. Put anything in there. He gave himself to those things. Those things took away his heart, took away his judgment, took away his ability to be able to respond to God, and he died without God. Do you think the greatest tragedy was that Belshazzar died and left his kingdom? No, possibly he would have lost his kingdom anyway, because the prophecies needed to be fulfilled, and there were certain things that needed to be happening in order for Christ to come. But he didn't have to lose his soul.
That's right.
He didn't have to lose his soul. He had a choice. I'm telling you something. The message of this story is that right now, in this day and age, at this time, you have got a choice.
Amen.
You've got a choice, and you can say right now, I've got the ability to decide what I'm going to give myself to. You give yourself to all of the vanity of this life, and in the end, judgment's going to come. And you're going to die, and it's going to be a wasted life. I don't know about you. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to be just nothing. Say, well, you know, I've already lived in this world for whatever it is. You know, some people get saved when they're older. I've already lived most of my life. Hey, you know something? You got breath. You can get revenge on those years. Oh, yeah, you can turn around some of those years. You know what you can do right now is you can stop where you are and you can turn towards God and you can humble yourself before him and you can get things right. This book is full of people that have humbled themselves in the sight of the Lord. And he responded to them. You see, you don't have to get that judgment at the end of your life. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. This story impressed me, if I can bring home this final point, is that you have got a way back to God.
Amen.
Okay, so you've been living for things that don't matter. Turn.
Yes.
Humble yourself in his sight. You see, he's willing to take you. See, that's the amazing thing about the gospel. Amazing thing about the gospel is that he's willing to take sinners at the time that they call. Why don't you take a lesson from Belshazzar? And why don't you stop all of the energy in trying to fill that void inside? Why don't you realize what you really are before the Lord? Why don't you humble yourself? Confess your sins to him. You know, this ain't no Catholic church. You don't have to confess your sins to us. We don't need your dirty laundry. We don't need to know what you've done. None of our business. But God needs to hear it from you.
Amen.
He needs to hear it. Christian friend, if you've been living for this world and you haven't been living for God, and you're going in the wrong direction and your life and you know it deep down in your heart, you know what? We don't need to hear about it, but God does. You go to him and you explain things to him. You say, look, this is what I am and this is where I've been and I need help and I need you. And that's what God wants. He wants us dependent upon him. The amazing thing is that Belshazzar, all he had to do was get down on his knees and say, I screwed up. This is not the path. He might have still died, but I'm telling you, his soul would have been in much better shape. He died drunk and separated from God. Oh, what a tragedy. Don't let that be your story. Don't let that be written of you at the end of your life. take a lesson from Belshazzar. Let's bow for a word of prayer.